Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hello, welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
And this is Ruined, a podcast where we ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for all of you. Hallie, I did see you a few hours ago doing this exact same thing, but how are you? What's new?
Nothing. Truly nothing. Just working. Working on the railroad. I have truly nothing new has happened. I saw Red Lobster is going bankrupt. That's unfortunate.
Oh. Kind of about time, but sad.
I remember that was like, you know, you have something to celebrate, like you graduate eighth grade. That was always one of my brother's picks of a place to go. But my other brother hates the smell of lobster so much that he would have to wait in the car, which
through the whole meal?
Well, then we'd bring him food to take home, but it was very funny. But I mean, what could he do? Also, it was like one of three options. It was like that, TJ Fridays, and then Chi Chi's, which has closed.
Oh, yeah, I remember Chi Chi's.
R.I.P. Chi Chi's, as I always say.
Yes, constantly.
Allison, how are you doing?
I'm good. Riz has been very meowy all day. So I don't know what that is. Sometimes he just gets really chatty. But cute. I also, like, in the last couple of days, it did get warm enough to start turning on my air conditioners here.
Oh, okay.
And they are, I have those, like, weird, like, they're not nice, but it's a level above a window unit. Like,
okay.
It's like those units that are like, it still definitely is like coming in and out of just like a window, but there's like something built around it.
Yes, I had like that, one of those in Greenpoint.
And yeah. Heat and air conditioning both come from the same device. So it's like, I have used it like more recently than I last used like my air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if it's been like kind of he's been hanging out over or around it lately. And even when it's not on, I'm like, oh, is this just like puffing a bunch of weird smells and stuff into the apartment that like he's really picking up on? I don't know. Hey, baby.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, just so many pigeon mites and, you know, the.
Oh, my God.
Remember that time when New York smelled like maple syrup?
Yes.
And it turns out it was like a fenugreek extract factory
from, like,
in New Jersey or something.
Yeah, like a food processing plant or something like that.
Listen, that's New York, baby. He's enjoying all the smells of New York.
We're all on top of each other, and that includes the factories. So, yeah, I don't know. I really don't want it to be air conditioning season yet, but it is getting warm here, and I do like to sleep. What's your sleep temperature ideal?
I would prefer it to be hot. I did just buy a fan because I haven't bought an air conditioning because this particular apartment's very cold. Like it's
oh, yeah.
There's a lot of like shade around it.
Apartments are weirdly like if they're drafty and not a ton of direct sunlight, they're chilly like for most of the year.
100%. That's mine for sure. And so I did get a Honeywell TurboForce Power literally yesterday by a friend of the pod. Dave drove me to Target. And I got a fan. So for me, that's it. I rarely need an air conditioning because I didn't grow up with it. Like I grew up, it was just like fans and that was fine. What about you? Are you
I prefer like to sleep in the ice cold. Like if the apartment's kind of warm during the day, I can deal with it and a fan can be it for me. But like at night, I need freezing cold. I'll set my air conditioner to 64 degrees at night. Just to just to be freezing. I don't know. I really need to be cold. And 'tis the season.
Yeah, I'm like that in a hotel. If I'm in a hotel, I'll turn it down as treat.
Yeah.
Well, after this riveting conversation, we know that you guys are just fucking chomping at the bit for more air conditioning talk.
Yeah. Weigh in with how cold you like it when you sleep in the comments.
This is Hallie, and this is Ruined, a podcast for you. It's about horror movies. You get the idea.
You're already listening because this is an ad.
And as an advertisement, we must tell you we have our next live show on Sunday, June 30th. It's at 4 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. And we are doing a brand new film, which is just arriving in theaters the moment we are recording this, actually. And that movie is The Watchers.
Ooh. So you can get your tickets for $10 at moment.co/ruined. That is moment.co/ruined. We'll ruin the movie. We'll have the chat going. We'll have our old merch. You know we have our old merch.
Oh, yeah. It's vintage. It's vintage merch. Yes. Come on and get some.
Yeah, we'll play some drinking games. We're going to do the movie. It's always a fun time. If you are a $20 tier Patreon member, you will get your tickets in the morning in your inbox somehow. We don't know how that works. We're not going to tell you we do.
We're never going to lie to you, which is why we're telling you the truth. Our next live show is Sunday, June 30th, and we hope we'll see you there. We'll not see you. You get the idea.
Yeah, you'll see us there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. And speaking of someone who's sleeping hot.
Okay. Sleeping hot.
Daddy Month continues apace. We are doing a movie I had not seen until I watched it for the podcast. And that is 1988's Pumpkinhead. It is the directorial debut of special effects artist Stan Winston. And it has some incredible monster design. I hadn't seen this. This is obviously a movie like I saw the cover of at Blockbuster.
Yeah, it sounded familiar, but I definitely don't know anything about it, nor have I heard anyone ever talk about it.
Yeah, it's interesting because it really stood out. It's like a perfect, if you're 11, and you played at somebody's house, it seems like the kind of thing. Yes. Are they reinventing the wheel? No. Is there a disgusting monster named Pumpkinhead? There sure is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in case you love this, don't worry. There are three sequels. Of which actually went to theaters. There's Pumpkinhead 2, Blood Wings, Pumpkinhead Ashes to Ashes, then Pumpkinhead Blood Feud. So, you know, in case we love this, there is, of course, and it looks like they're going to be rebooting it, which I guess we shouldn't be surprised because they reboot everything.
Why would anybody want original ideas when you could continue to reuse IP?
There is a movie as good as Pumpkinhead sitting in 1,000 horror writers' drawers right now.
Absolutely.
And instead of buying that, those horror writers are just sitting around in their drawers, you know, trying to pick up work while they would get it made. He also did, Stan Winston, he worked on Terminator, the first three Jurassic Park films, Aliens.
Okay.
That makes sense because Pumpkinhead is very xenomorph-like. It has a xenomorphic build. Okay. The Thing, the first two Predator movies, my God.
This guy's been all over the place.
And he has won 4 Academy Awards for Aliens, Terminator 2, Judgment Day. He won 2 for that. And then Jurassic Park. My God.
Wow.
And I would say this is a pretty standout movie for the effects. But also, it's a B movie where they play everything very realistically, which always takes it up a notch to me.
Yes.
We always have Allison watch the trailer for the movie. Allison, what did you think of the trailer for Pumpkinhead?
Well, I didn't know what to expect when it started, but the first 2 seconds, there's just like a horse running by at night. And I was like, I already hate the vibe of this entire film. Mm-hmm. I don't quite get what's happening from the trailer. I know that there's like a witch.
Great. Yes.
Who maybe is Pumpkinhead.
Okay. All right.
But maybe not. It's a lot of just like cuts between like different people and monsters.
That's absolutely correct.
I didn't enjoy looking at them. So the monsters nor the people. Scary. Overall scary, but complicated because I have also like no cultural reference going into this. And the way that other movies I've been like, oh, it's this. Or like, oh, right. I know people talk about this. I'm just like, What's Pumpkinhead?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think of this as, I mean, at the time, I think this is a piece with, say, Nightmare on Elm Street. You know, it doesn't have the enduring legacy, but it's certainly not worse than most of those films.
Yeah.
There's also a comic book series, apparently, that came out.
Oh.
So I guess it was around, but it hasn't endured. Perhaps that is why they are choosing to reboot. It's also based on a poem called Pumpkinhead by Ed Justin.
Yes, we all know that the best huge studio films are usually based on poems.
I love that. There should be more movies based on poems. And I could read you the poem. I'll read you when it comes up, because the poem, of course, becomes a children's chant within the film. And we will read it. We always like to take a baseline scary from Allison to see where she's at going into the film. Allison, how scary do you find the concept of seeking revenge, knowing what it might do to a man's soul?
Oh, like how scary do I find being the one demanding it, or like,
yes, let's go with that.
Or the soul being destroyed. Okay. I can't tell if I like revenge.
Okay, great. Walk me through it.
I like think that it, younger me, you know, when you're younger and you just have less of an understanding of the world and the way other people might feel just because you exist within it and your actions have real consequences.
Yes.
I think I was like more of a revenge person and like more of a this needs to be even and like you did this, fuck you. Like I feel like I was more of that kind of person. And as I get older, I'm like, I don't know, people make mistakes. I don't
Absolutely. And I think this is a movie where there is regret, but regret that comes after the impact. Right. Yes. Once revenge is set in motion, the motion cannot be halted. So I think that is, we have to keep learning it. Revenge always seems like a great idea.
In theory, it's fantastic. And in practice, I think it's often
two thumbs down.
Something people wouldn't do again.
Exactly. And then finally, would you like to guess the twist in Pumpkinhead?
Guess the twist.
Is there a twisty twist?
I think at the end, yes. I think there is at the very end that I really appreciated.
Oh, okay. I'm going to guess that based on the very unhelpful trailer and what you just told me, that Pumpkinhead was turned into became Pumpkinhead because of someone else's mistake. Somebody did something. This creates Pumpkinhead. Pumpkinhead is searching, like trying to avenge this kind of existence as Pumpkinhead forever. And I'm going to guess the revenge works. And in the end, they do return to their original form, but that form is death. And
great.
They have to die.
Incredible. An incredible guess. Once again, Allison.
Nice and vague and weird and kind of convoluted.
And that, I think, does sort of sum up the plot of Pumpkinhead.
Okay, great.
Which, of course, it will center on a daddy we'll meet momentarily for our month of daddies. Let us begin ruining 1988's Pumpkinhead. We open in 1957. We're out in the fucking boonies, Allison.
We are out
in the middle of God knows where, and we are with a man named Tom Harley, and he is in his cabin with his wife and child. He is nervously loading his shotgun, as you're wont to do. His wife, Ellie, urges their son, Eddie, to go to bed. They all sleep in one big room. She's encouraging him to say his prayers while his father is nervously waiting with a shotgun by the door. Obviously not a prime sleeping situation for a child.
No, I wouldn't say so.
Because something is outside in the woods, Allison.
Oh, okay.
We see Tom go outside to his truck, and then while he's gone, Eddie says, Mama, what's wrong with Daddy tonight? Ellie tells her son, nothing, just close your eyes and go to bed. Again, you got it. It does either you don't lie or you play it better. You know, you can't have that, but they can't have it halfway, you know?
No, you really can't.
But what Tom is actually doing is taking their horse and putting it from the pasture into the barn because something is coming.
Okay.
Tom goes back inside and Eddie watches his parents from his bed as his dad puts a bar over the door. Ellie is, of course, are we going to be all right? Should we be afraid? Unfortunately, Allison, we see a terrified man sprinting through the woods towards their home.
Not great.
We see him run through their cornfield. He falls gasping before a figure in the field. Don't worry, it's just a scarecrow. Just kidding. It's some kind of horrifying creature that's taller than a man and has the general shape of a xenomorph from
Aliens. Taller than a man is a huge problem.
Too much. Too big.
Though I guess...
Too much.
You know it's the monster. There's no, like... Is that Frank?
That's true.
It's like, nope. It's not Frank. You're not going to, like, stop and be like, I'm being silly. That's clearly my neighbor. Like, that's... I guess there's some...
Right, yeah.
Kind of, like, instant fear that you can understand.
Yeah, it's not my neighbor. It's a 12-foot-tall, demonic alien-looking creature with a long tail. And essentially, they took a xenomorph from Aliens and they made its head a little bit more pumpkin-like.
Yeah. Makes sense.
The man gets up. His face is scratched. He's bleeding. And he runs to the cabin door and starts pounding on it. He says, Allison, he knows them. He knows the family. And he pounds on the door and he screams, Tom, please let me in. It's going to kill me. Ellie pleads with her husband, like, we have to help him. We have to let him in. But Tom's face is set in stone. He says, this has nothing to do with us.
But
well, it's going to be a huge mess to clean off your porch. I mean, it ain't of nothing else.
Yeah, his blood is going to be on your hands and deck.
And, yeah, the man screams, what kind of Christian are you, for Christ's sake? Eddie, of course, wakes up in bed and starts screaming, why isn't Daddy letting the man in?
Oh, God.
His mother runs to him and hugs him and said, he just can't. He just can't do it. Tom yells through the door, get out of here, leave my family out of this. And the man screams and says, it's going to kill me. I didn't do it. I didn't kill that girl. Tom screams back, I don't know anything about that. I don't want to. I can't risk my family for you, Clayton. And from behind the man in the darkness, we hear a voice say, Clayton. It knows his name.
That's not good.
Allison Clayton turns and runs back into the trees, and you're not outrunning Pumpkinhead, baby. The creature is on top of him.
Yeah.
And we see a shot of Pumpkinhead lifting the man in the air like a rag doll, and we see little Eddie peering out the window.
Oh, God.
Seeing this man.
Ripped apart.
Meeting his demise. We arrive now in the present, or the 80s, where Eddie is an adult man. He's now Ed, and he's fucking jacked. But he is loyal to his country roots. He still lives in the area. We see him using a flamethrower to destroy brush around the farm. So you know they're going to torch the monster by the end. We just know the flamethrower is going to go back. Couldn't be happier.
Chekhov's flamethrower, we're excited to see it.
Exactly. We see Ed has his own adorable bespectacled son, Billy, who plays fetch with their dog, Gypsy. And according to Amazon Prime, the dog's real name is Mushroom, which I did think was cute. They credited the dog. We see Ed come up to the house and wash his hands with water from a barrel. And he has this very tender moment with Billy, where he has Billy come over to wash his hands. He says, you know, growing up, my great-grandmother used to wash my hands, and her skin was as thin as tissue paper, and it was so soft, and it felt so good. And I just love that. I was like, what an interesting specific from someone's actual life.
Yes, 100%.
That I just liked it because I was like, okay, so I maybe relate to these people and, like, evoked a real emotion.
Yeah.
And he says, last one in the house has to wash the breakfast dishes. And they run inside and they eat breakfast while Ed tallies up the farm expenses. And we see Billy feed Gypsy under the table. And Ed says, which I think was, like, this is a good pet thing. He's like, you can't feed him at the table. If you're going to feed him, put it in his bowl. That's just good advice.
That is good advice.
Billy tells his father that he made him a necklace, and he hands it to him, and it's like a little human figure, like a stick figure with a loop for a head.
Okay.
And then the loop is on a piece of twine. So, again, it looks like kid made it, but it's very cute. Ed loves it. He immediately puts it on. And Billy asks for a story, and Ed tells his son the tale of the grizzly old farmer with a clever son who'd grow up to do great things. Oh. Fortunately, Allison, it's the beginning of a horror movie, so
probably not true.
Those great things are going to be the distant future if they happen at all. We see a caravan of teens driving up from the city to the sticks to go dirt biking. And in one the truck that's towing the trailer full of dirt bikes, we see Steve, Maggie, Chris, and Tracy, with Steve driving. And behind them is a convertible that is driving erratically.
Okay.
Tracy's like, oh, my God, can he not even drive? And they say, no, Joel's a great guy once you get to know him. Joel, the driver of the convertible, and his girlfriend, Kim, immediately speed past the truck and veer into the lane, laughing, having fun, driving dangerously like we all enjoy doing.
Yes.
And we, of course, in a bit of foreshadowing, Kim, the girlfriend of the convertible driving Joel, says, why do you always have to bring that rifle with you?
Oh, God.
Joel says, in like a Sylvester Stallone voice, he says, because you never know what you're going to find in the jungle. Anyways, we know from the second Joel is introduced that he will meet his demise at the hands of Pumpkinhead.
Yeah, that rifle's not going to save you from Pumpkinhead.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we see Ed and Billy arrive at Ed's grocery store, like sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? A drugstore, but out in the middle of nowhere. A convenience store. It's got groceries, sure. But it's also got... It's like a general store. That's the word. A general store with general things in it. The Harley and Son grocery and their beat-up truck. They pull in, and while the teens are driving, we see a man walking out the side of the road with a gun and a rucksack.
Great.
And one of the girls asks Steve to pull over so she can photograph it. Again, it's a human man.
Hey.
And Steve says, Steve says, I wouldn't do that. People out here are weird. I heard a story where a guy killed his wife and then ate her just so the police wouldn't find the body.
Okay.
A few points. First of all, what? Second of all, that's the craziest reason to eat a body, right? Like, okay, you're a cannibal or something. You got an ulterior motive, but just to get rid of it.
But like,
and third of all, and here's the question I'm assuming you're going to ask. Did he eat the bones? It'd be pretty goddamn like, did he eat the body? Be like, oh, that's humiliating. I forgot about the bones.
I guess I got to eat those. Yeah, we can't digest bones. But also, like, even if he didn't, and I know that this isn't a real story, that's part of our world or technically the movies.
Yes.
But like, sometimes do you ever like look at maybe a plate or a bowl of food and be like, oh my God, I can't believe all of that is like inside of me. Like, I'm so full. Like you know, when you're just like, oh, that sandwich was so big. And like, you do the volume to volume. Like, now that's part of my stomach. That must be my whole stomach. That sandwich was so big.
Can I be honest? I've never thought that. I've never in my life thought that. Now I am thinking it. That's like really interesting.
I've like had like a, you know, you hold a giant burrito and like, obviously it gets like crushed. There's a lot of like physics and biology that like digest our food. But like, I'm like, it's still all mat. Like I didn't.
Like you that did amount of, larger.
I wait, what?
It's not like you increased in size to accommodate a giant Chipotle burrito. The burrito has displaced your other organs.
I imagine a full burrito is just sitting in my stomach, like a diagram in like a medical ad for heartburn.
That's really funny. Like Operation, the game.
But I think about, I mean, even if you ate everything but the bones off of a human, it's still, from a volume standpoint, I feel like the police would beat you to the punch before you could finish it.
I don't think you'd be able to eat the skull. I'm going to say it. No. I'm not going to challenge anyone on that.
No.
It makes me think of when I was in high school, my brothers used to go to Chipotle because it was new.
Yes.
And so all the boys went. And they would bring it home and literally have to like take a 20-minute nap in between. Like they'd eat half of a burrito, take a nap, and then keep eating because it was so big.
Snake
Your
style.
Your human body would shut down because it was like too much to digest.
Anyway.
Meanwhile, the teens pull up to the general store. Joel and Kim pull up behind them. Billy opens the door, and we see Gypsy run over and start barking at Joel, immediately knowing that Joel is the one who sucks. And we hear Joel say of Billy, look at this kid's glasses. They look like Coke bottles. And everyone's like, Joel, could you not be an asshole to everyone we meet all the time? Maggie goes over and asks Billy, what's your dog's name? You know, trying to be friendly. Joel runs over to the motorbikes and starts to unbuckle his bike from the trailer. And Steve's like, I thought we were going to get settled in at the cabin. But Joel's a bad boy, and he fucking needs to bike. He needs to get out there and ride, Allison. So he takes off one of the bikes of the trailer, and he drives off into the hills. Another truck with five tiny, filthy children in the back come to the store as well. And their grandfather, Mr. Wallace, is there and tells him to stay put. Of course, they do not. They immediately get out and start talking to Billy. When he goes inside to buy groceries, Tracy starts taking photos of the children. Again, rude when their grandfather goes into the store. Steve is inside shopping. He said, do you have beers? He said, no. Ed says, no, it's a dry county. One of the boys, Jimmy Joe, takes Billy's ball, and the other kids start fighting over it. And his oldest brother, Bunt, makes him give up the ball and say, you know who settles on bad ones when you act bad? And all the kids say in a chorus, Pumpkinhead.
Ugh.
They say, that's who got old Mr. Foley. And he said, no, he moved away. And his brother says, no, Pumpkinhead got him. He tore off his head and drank all his blood.
Okay.
And then they all start chanting the Pumpkinhead rhyme, which I found on deviantart.com. Thank you, Chimera Lord 2000.
And this is the poem.
This is the poem that they are chanting as a nursery rhyme. Keep away from Pumpkinhead, unless you're tired of living. His enemies are mostly dead. He's mean and unforgiving. Laugh at him and you're undone. But in some dreadful fashion, vengeance he considers fun and plans it with a passion. Time will not erase or blot a plot that he is brewing. It's when you think that he's forgot, he'll conjure your undoing. Bolted doors and windows barred. Guard doors prowling in your yard. Won't protect you in your bed. Nothing will from Pumpkinhead. Inside, thank you.
Beautiful reading.
Inside, Ed hears them and he flashes to that night that he was a child when he saw Pumpkinhead haul that poor bastard off the ground and kill him.
Yeah.
The kids keep chanting and Tracy eventually says, stop it, stop it. Because all the teens are also freaked out.
It would suck to know it's a real thing and have seen it with your own eyes and have it be like a thing that kids are rhyming about, whether they believe it or not. Like, it's just like, oh, can we not have like a rhyme to go with the horrific murder I watched at the hands of a demon?
The kids all climb back in the truck. Inside, Ed rings up Mr. Wallace, and Wallace says, oh, do you have my feed too? And he's like, damn, I left up at the house. Give me a couple minutes. I'll run up. Mr. Wallace is like, I can't. I don't have time. Ed says, how about I drop it off at your door? You pay for this, and then I'll drop off the feed. I'll just go run and get it now. Wallace says, great. I'll meet you back at my house. Outside, we see Joel driving back and forth with his motorbike. He does a wheelie, which is very impressive to Chris and Steve. But Tracy's like, this guy's just an asshole. Like, oh, okay. Like, we got to deal with him all weekend.
Yeah.
Ed calls Billy into the store and says, you stay in here while they're out there. You know, I'm going to be gone for 15 minutes. I'm going to run. We'll get a feed. Then we'll close up. We'll go for a drive. Outside, Steve gets his bike off the trailer to join Joel. And Maggie says, you have to encourage him. Steve says, well, he's my brother. So Steve is Joel's brother.
Okay.
Unfortunately, Allison, as Steve and Joel start motorbiking around these sort of their like foothills, grass-covered foothills of the mountains, they're doing wheelies, they're jumping off the hills, they're going nuts.
Sure.
Gypsy bolts out of the store. And this is seconds after Ed has driven off to go buy the feed. So Mr. Wallace is gone. Ed is gone. It's just the teens. Billy was supposed to stay in the store. But, of course, Gypsy runs out of the door and into the field where Joel and Steve are biking. Billy runs after him. Maggie sees it and runs after him, trying to get him away from the bikes. Allison, not seeing Billy, Steve jumps off of a hill and is barely able to miss Billy. Like, basically has to, like, move and fall in real time to not hit the kid.
Okay.
Joel leaps off the jump and lands on top of Billy. Mm. The gang runs over to him, but things do not look good. Joel, because he's a piece of shit as previously established, grabs his bike and runs back to his truck, grabs Kim, throws her in. Steve's running after him like, what the fuck are you doing? Joel says, if we stay, I'm fucked. I've been drinking. They'll fry me. Mm. He screams at Kim, get in the fucking car. Chris runs to the store, but there's no phone. And Joel and Kim peel away in their car, ostensibly to go to the cabin they've rented.
Okay.
Chris and Chris and Steve run back over to Billy, where Maggie and Tracy are looking after him. Maggie is traumatized. Maggie could barely talk. She's so horrified by what's happened. They decide, we'll go to the cabin. There's a phone there. We'll call the police, call an ambulance. Steve is going to stay with Billy.
Okay.
And Chris, Maggie, and Tracy get into the truck and drive up to the cabin. Billy is unconscious and his nose is bleeding, but is still alive. And Steve, not knowing what to do, puts his jean jacket. Allison, Ed returns to the store. He goes inside and sees that his son and the dog are gone. And, of course, he immediately starts to panic. He's like, I have been gone 10 minutes and these teens are gone and my child is not gone. Yeah. He comes around the side of the store and he sees Steve standing in the field in the tall grass. And as he approaches him, he sees Billy's body lying at his feet. Blood pouring out of Billy's nose. Ed runs over to Billy's body and runs back to his truck. Steve tries to explain, it was an accident. Nobody saw him. Can I help? And Ed turns and just glares at him with this look of hatred.
Yeah.
And he puts Billy in the car and he drives away, leaving Steve standing there in the middle of nowhere. at the cabin, the gang parks, and they have to go up a trail to the cabin. Tracy says, I'm not waiting around. She starts running up to the cabin to get to the phone. She opens the door. Joel and Kim are already there. And she's like, did you call for help? They haven't. She goes to call 911. No. Joel rips the phone cord out of the wall. Chris and Maggie join them. And Chris sort of puts Maggie on the couch. But Maggie's basically catatonic. Like, she's traumatized by watching this, obviously.
That'd be me.
They just watched a child get crushed by a motorbike. Tracy grabs the keys and says she's going to drive and find a phone. Joel grabs the keys out of her hand. Chris goes to intervene, and Kim stops him and says,
please, Joel was in another accident a couple months ago, and a girl was hurt. He's on probation right now. If the police find out about it.
They're not going to find out about it.
That's on you, Joel. Yeah,
maybe he needs to go to jail.
This motherfucker should be in jail. This keeps happening. That's on you.
Stop hurting young people. Or any people.
Chris and Tracy are basically like, well, fuck you. We're going to go. Well, then we'll walk and find a phone. Like, maybe there's another cabin around here. And Joel tries to physically stop Chris from leaving. Chris shoves him, and Joel picks up a log from the fireplace and bashes Chris in the face, knocking him out cold. So now Tracy and the girls are terrified of him. Mm. So they're like, oh, things are escalating quickly. Meanwhile, Ed takes Billy home and puts him to bed. And I think we are to think Billy is too injured. He's going to die. So his father is taking him home to die. He takes off Billy's glasses and wipes the blood off his face and tells him a story about the old man and his wonderful son. And it's genuinely so sad.
Yeah.
And they're playing it very realistically. And Billy says, Daddy. And he dies.
No.
Steve finally makes it to the cabin to, of course, be like, dude, you fucking call 911. And right. Joel has physically trapped Tracy and Chris in a bedroom. So he has literally trapped them in there. They cannot get out. Steve says, the dad came back, and I told him it was an accident. He looked at me like he wanted to kill me. We have to do the right thing here. Like, we can't pretend this didn't happen. Also, that motherfucker saw all of us.
Yeah.
What is the plan here, Joel?
Right. We're all implicated in this at this point, regardless, because he knows we were all together.
I hope that Pumpkinhead
comes and just rips Joel's head off and drinks all of his blood.
Well, I have great news about where this movie's headed. We see that Ed wasn't able. He stopped at the general store because he was going to pick up Billy and then go to Mr. Wallace's. So he still has all the feed in the back of the truck. So we see Ed put Billy's body in his truck and cover it with a blanket. And they drive up to the sticks. So up into the foothills where the real country folk live. So it's like cabins, dirt roads, goats, horses. We're all living up in the foothills. And he drives down, and basically we're understanding, like, Mr. Wallace has a huge extended family. So he's got the grandkids we've seen, and then he has his adult children who live in other cabins around there. Mm-hmm. And he asks his adult son, Ethan, who is the father of Bunt and some of the other kids, at least.
Okay.
And he said, Ethan, could you get your father? Ethan goes in. Bunt comes over to unload the feed. Mr. Wallace comes out to pay, and Ed says, keep the money if you can help me. Do you know where I can find the old woman that supposedly lives in these mountains?
Oh, boy.
The one that's supposed to have powers? Mr. Wallace says, I've never heard of that woman. Ed says, I know you have. Mm-hmm. You're from around here. Mm-hmm. Please tell me what you know. Wallace says, gives him the cash and says, I can't tell you what I don't know. I don't know anything about her. Ed leans in and he lifts the blanket and shows him Billy's corpse. And he says, Wallace, please. Wallace tells the kids, get inside. He tells Bunt, don't worry about the feet, just get inside.
Yeah.
And he says, well, who killed him? And Ed said, these the city folks that you saw. Tell me where she is. I need to go find her. And Wallace says, she can't help you. All she can do is send you straight to hell. Allison, I got to ask you, what would you do?
What would you do?
I'll go right to hell.
Yeah.
This is too much for a man to, like, you already witnessed Pumpkinhead and a brutal death as a child. You now have lost your son in an incredibly tragic, I mean, there is no non-tragic way, but in a very tragic way. I'm going to be like, tell me where she lives. I'm going. Like, I'm going to follow through with whatever I think is up there because that is the only path for me moving forward.
Yeah, it feels like if you knew someone had powers, how would you resist going to at least talk to her about the situation?
Especially in, like, this moment, like, the immediate grief of what's happened.
Yeah.
You would have to. I would have to.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
And, well, we're all on the same page. Wallace says to him, I'm not telling you where she is. Go home and bury your boy. So Ed gets in the truck. He starts to drive away. And Bunt, the eldest grandson, steps out basically further down the road and stops the truck and says, I know what you're looking for. What'll you trade me? And Ed gives him a $10 bill. And Bunt says, she's up on Blackridge. Her name is Haggis.
Of course it is.
Ed says, I want you to come with me and show me how to drive up there. And Bunt says, I'll go part of the ways, but this woman scares the piss out of me. I'm not going to her house. So we see them start driving up into the mountains. And at a certain point, Bunt says, we're on the road. I want out. Gets out of the truck and says, just keep going up this road. And when you find a cabin at the end in a swamp, that's her. And then Bunt turns and runs straight down the mountain. Ed arrives at a swamp cabin, and he takes Billy's body out, and he opens the door, and inside there's an elderly woman staring into the fire. Her name, of course, is Haggis.
Okay, great. Love her.
Her hair is blowing in a non-existent wind, which we love to see it.
I love just a permanent wind-blown look.
And without even turning around, she goes,
brave raising the dead ain't within my power.
He comes to her, and he basically says, I'm not looking for that. And he takes all of his earthly possessions. He's got jewelry, family jewelry, his coins, money, pours it into an ivory cup that's sitting next to her. And she tells him, again, I cannot bring him back. So what do you want, Ed Harley? He says, you know, when I was young, people would talk about you. If a man had been wronged, if someone had been killed, you would call upon something in his name. I'm here because they killed my boy. She says to him, ever hear a Razorback Hollow? There's an old cemetery there. People used to bury their kinfolk in there. Folks say it's ashamed of. It's in there. Bring a shovel and bring it back here. There are some things I gotta do to it before it's of any use to you. Leave the boy here and just go. Okay. So Ed heads up to the cemetery at Razorback Hollow to dig up some sort of undead creature.
Oh, sounds like a chill thing to do while you're mourning the death of your son and doing business with a witch.
We see a buzzard flies out of the cemetery at him, and he walks under an archway covered in human bones. It's just a skeleton arm hanging down.
Yep. Great.
And he climbs up onto I love the design. It's like this raised knoll in the middle of the cemetery covered in pumpkins. So he climbs up onto it and he starts to dig. And he unearths sort of a humanoid body all dehydrated in a fetal position. And he drops it in horror, sort of like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And he slides down the knoll, but then he just shakes his head and he climbs back up and gets it. Back at the cabin, Joel waits near the door with a gun because now they're afraid, like, oh, this crazy hillbilly is going to come and kill us because we killed his son.
Understandably.
Yeah. Steve paces around. Tracy and Chris are still locked in the bedroom, pounding on the door. Tracy's like, when we get out of here, Joel's going to carry his balls home in a knapsack. Steve tells Joel, I'll tell them it was me. I'll take it. If you're on probation, they're going to give me a slap on the wrist. But Joel says no. And Steve's a real cuck. He can't say no to his brother, unfortunately. Yeah. Kim comes over and says, I'm starting to worry about Maggie. She's still catatonic on the couch.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we see Ed bring the body he has dug up from the cemetery to Haggis' cabin, and she has it put it on her big witch's table, you know, like a big table a witch would have covered in herbs and spices and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like a KFC situation.
Exactly. He puts it down, and she says, for each of man's evils, a special demon exists. You're looking at vengeance. cruel, devious, pure as venom, vengeance. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Got it.
Haggis lifts the knife and stabs it into the top of Ed's hand and cuts it and starts draining his blood into a bucket, which she then starts using to resurrect Pumpkinhead. And we see Ed collapse, faint onto the ground. And we see Pumpkinhead sort of start to rehydrate and his scaly skin starts to split open like a cocoon and his big old pumpkin head bursts through.
Okay, great.
And again, he's basically alien from Aliens, but with like a pumpkin-ish head.
Yes.
Which is horrifying.
It is.
Hours later in the morning, he wakes and the pumpkin head's gone. And Haggis tells him, you can go now, Ed Harley. Now it begins. Mm. In the early light, he drives home and he barely misses being hit by an oncoming car. He stops his truck and we see Billy sit up in the passenger seat. And he says, what did you do, Daddy? But Ed looks at him and Billy is still dead. Back at the cabin, I'm sorry, it's not daytime. I don't know why I wrote that. It looks like it was daytime and I meant to correct that. It is still obviously nighttime.
Okay.
This movie does go in and out. It does have like a daytime in the middle of the night situation visually. Yeah,
the lighting even in the trailer is very kind of like warm, backlit, just kind of like, oh, that must be day. But like, why would any of this happen during the day?
Ed looks over and Billy is still dead. He has just seen a vision. Back at the cabin, Maggie starts to come out of her catatonic state. Steve says, fuck it. Let's kidnap Chris and Stacy and go to Mexico. So that's the plan, Steve.
Okay.
You're going to go to Mexico.
Sure.
Abandon your lives. Also, again, people still saw you there. Even if Ed hadn't seen you, Mr. Wallace and all those kids saw you. Sorry.
Yeah.
Maggie walks out of the house to get some air, and Steve follows her, telling Joel, you got to do the right thing, and you got to do it now. And he runs out after Maggie. Meanwhile, Ed goes to his wife's grave, and we see on the stone, budded on earth to bloom in heaven, Betty Lynn Harley. He tells her, they killed our boy, Lynn, and now they're going to pay. And he digs his little Billy a grave next to hers while thunder starts to roll in. Meanwhile, back at the cabin, Steve catches Maggie, and she's praying, and she's holding a cross on her necklace. And he says, Maggie, you've taken strength from this. We're going to be fine. Which, again, even if they, even not only about Pumpkinhead, clearly you're not going to be fine. You all collectively covered up the death of a child, right?
Yeah, like you won't be fine.
And she, but she does sort of come to, yeah. And she looks at him and she starts crying. And he tells her, "I'm sure that boy is fine." Allison, Pumpkinhead reaches down out of the trees and hauls Steve up into the air.
Whoa, Pumpkinhead is here.
Pumpkinhead's here, and Ed is connected to Pumpkinhead, presumably because his blood was used to resurrect Pumpkinhead. So when Pumpkinhead attacks, he then gets sort of a sepia-toned vision, like a shuddering image. He can see the attack, and he falls to the ground because it physically hurts him. This, like sputtering
in the
yellow.
Like, simultaneously.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, he has, like, a psychic vision of Pumpkinhead. Okay. And so his revenge begins. In the cabin, Joel tells Kim, I've been a fucker my whole life, but I guess that stops now. He's going to do it. He's going to call the police on himself. He's going to make it right. He opens a door to let Tracy and Chris out. But just then, Maggie runs through the door screaming, it's killing him. Maggie, understandably, as someone with a cross around her neck, we saw her praying earlier. She is like, that's the devil or something. And it is a demon. Yeah. So Maggie says, you know, there's some sort of devil out there. Chris grabs Joel's gun and runs out looking for Steve. They both run. Joel runs out after him and says, lock the door to the girls. Maggie starts praying. And Tracy and Kim try to tell her, what you saw out there, it wasn't the devil. And Maggie's like, you didn't even see it, bitch. It was. It was something like that. And they say, don't worry, Chris and Joel, they'll get Steve. They'll stop whatever's out there. And Maggie says, God's the only thing that can stop what's out there. Through the window as they're talking, as Tracy goes to the kitchen to pull out a few knives to...
Smart.
So they at least have a weapon.
Something.
We see Pumpkinhead stalking around outside the window.
No. That's so scary.
And it's Tracy so large. Looks at the knives. It's so good. Tracy looks at the knives and says, well, in case God doesn't show, the boys come back sans Steve. They cannot find Steve. And Tracy says, rightfully so, we got to get out of here. But Joel and Maggie refuse to leave without Steve. Again, it's been a minute. You gotta leave without Steve.
Yeah, It's time.
Leave Without Steve. It's a rhyme you can live by.
Yes.
Leave Without Steve.
Leave Without Steve.
Nobody wants to, but in this case, it's going to have to. They all walk out to the porch, and we see Steve's corpse dangling from the roof, held up by Pumpkinhead.
Yeah.
So now at least everyone's seen it. And he drops Steve's body, and then he reaches out and grabs Maggie and hauls her over the roof.
Oh.
So Steve's down. Maggie is now in the clutches of Pumpkinhead. Tracy runs around the house with Chris following with the gun to try to figure out what the fuck's going on.
Okay.
Back at his cabin, Ed is having the vision of Maggie's death. He sees Pumpkinhead carve a cross into Maggie's face before dropping her to the ground.
Religious.
Yes, I think he specifically is evil.
Yes.
In a, I guess, Christian. Catholic sense of the word. Yes.
Yeah,
he's not the devil. He's a fictional kind of demon, but he's a demon nonetheless.
Still kind of in that realm.
Yeah. But again, Ed can see psychically Maggie's death in a vision. He's getting his revenge, but it is physically horrible for him to see it. Mm-hmm. Also, weird to understand, like, Ed's a good guy. It was just he acted out of a sense of rage, which he shouldn't have. Ed gets in his truck, and he just starts driving. He's starting to, like, his nose is bleeding. He's starting to, like, choke on blood. He's physically experiencing it. And he drives. He makes it past to Haggis's house, and he busts in on her and says, "You have to stop this." And she says, "Oh, it'll pass, Ed Harley. This is what you wanted, wasn't it?" Hmm. He says, "No, this is wrong. I was wrong to ask for this. Can you stop it?" Haggis says, "Nothing I can do. It's got to run its course." And Ed says, "If you won't stop it."
It's not the flu.
It might be, though. The way she says, "Look, it can't be stopped. It has to run its course." Ed says, "If you won't stop it, then I will." Haggis shrugs and tells him, "Then you'll die, too. And you'll meet your final judgment all the sooner." Mm. Ed starts screaming at her, "Damn you! Damn you, Haggis!" And Haggis replies with a laugh, "He already has, son. He already has." Mm. And at this point, Allison, I gotta ask you, who will survive?
Who will survive?
All right, here's my theory. Lay all the kids are gonna die, like all the teens or whatever. And then Ed is going to kill Pumpkinhead or try to destroy Pumpkinhead.
Great. And it'll
actually seem like it'll backfire and he'll die. But like, I think it's going to be like, there's some story with him and Pumpkinhead from the original storyline we saw. That's going to be like, oh, and it completed this circle thing. And so Ed will survive.
Great. Fabulous.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Inside the cabin, Joel and Kim watch in horror as Pumpkinhead holds Maggie's corpse and like smushes her face against the kitchen window and then rears back and smashes her head through, throwing her corpse into the kitchen.
Cool.
Joel runs for the shotgun. Kim passes out straight onto the ground. Unfortunately, Pumpkinhead then enters the cabin and grabs for Kim's body. Joel attempts to stop it, but it's simply too late. It's simply too strong.
Yeah.
It throws Joel across the room, and then it grabs Kim. So we are down 2. He has grabbed a third form of revenge. He stumbles out, and we find Tracy and Chris running back into the cabin. He tells them it has Kim. Hmm. And they run outside, and Tracy's like, "Well, where is it?" They all look up and they see Pumpkinhead sitting at the top of a tree holding Kim's body, and it drops her.
Oh.
It's got to be at least 50 feet. It's a huge tree.
Ugh.
And she falls spine first onto a boulder, breaking in half backwards. Now we're down to Joel, Chris, Tracy, and Ed Harley. Ed arrives at the now empty cabin because, as we've just seen, Joel, Chris, and Tracy, after seeing Kim's body be dropped by some sort of demon, have run into the woods. They are like, fuck this.
Yeah.
We have to get some distance between us and the demon.
I mean, go ahead and try.
They do, and they end up in the sticks. So they're near the Wallace's cabins, and they run up to a cabin. The person inside is credited as Old Hill Woman.
Okay.
But these people are from this area. They're not fucking answering the door.
Yeah, like, they're
know better. Okay. Yeah, like some teens are here. They committed a murder or something happened and now they're saying something's after them. We've lived through this before.
Yes. I don't want to be a part of it. That's not my business.
Exactly. They find a truck and they're about to break into it when a hill man approaches them and fires a shot into the air and says, "Empty your hands, son." And Chris drops the gun. And they try to beg him, like, "Please, sir, something is chasing us. We just want to use your truck to get out of here. Do you have a phone?" Tracy begs him and says, "We need your help." The man says,
"I can't help you. Your folks, he's marked."
Marked? What do you mean marked?
Suddenly, Pumpkinhead is there.
Okay.
He approaches them, or it. It approaches them.
Yeah.
And a shotgun blast rings out. They turn around. It is Ed Harley. He is a man of his word, and he's going to try to help them stop Pumpkinhead. Joel walks over to it, and like a fucking idiot, starts to poke at Pumpkinhead, which is just on the ground. We've seen it shot once. It's a demon. And everyone else says, "Don't go near it. You don't know if it's dead yet." Joel takes his shotgun and shoots Pumpkinhead and says, "It's dead." Of course, bad news, it's not dead.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Pumpkinhead lunges up and grabs Joel's shotgun out of his hand and rams the shotgun through his chest, skewering him and lifting him up in the air.
Ugh. Pumpkinhead is, like, active.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like doing all kinds of...
He's a demon
on a mission. It's not just like, "I'm going to fling you over here," or "I'm going to, like, tear something off and, like, leave you." It's like, "I'm going to make a little bit of a spectacle."
Exactly. Meanwhile, a dog attacks Ed and drags him to the ground as if he wasn't dealing with enough, but he's able to shake up the dog. Tracy and Chris, in this chaos, run to the next cabin. It is, of course, Mr. Wallace's cabin. And the entire Wallace family has, like, battened down the hatches. Mm-hmm. Bunt, the grandson that showed Ed to Haggis's place, mm-hmm. says, "Are you sure that thing won't hurt the animals?" Wallace says, no, it only kills what it's summoned to kill. That and whoever gets in its way. But don't worry, it won't hurt animals. Mm. Ethan tells Bunt, just go to bed. Again, paralleling the beginning scene. So we're seeing, again, another father, Ethan, telling his son, Bunt, go to bed, ignore it.
Yeah.
You know, 40 years later, whatever. Chris and Tracy continue to pound on the door, but no one will open it. Bunt goes into his room that he shares with his siblings, and his sister, Hessie, wakes up and sees him getting dressed. She's like, where are you going? He says, "I'm going to help those folks. Plus, I need to know if it's real or if it's just a story." Hessie says, "Okay, well, Grandpa's going to whoop you." Bunt says, "Don't worry, he's not going to find out." He obviously will find out.
Yes.
When you disappear to go fight Pumpkinhead.
And you die.
Ed Harley. Yeah, and die. Chris and Tracy leave to go to the next cabin and are confronted with Bunt. Bunt runs over to them after sneaking out a window. They don't trust him at first, but he explains, "Look, they're not allowed to help you. They're not going to come, but I'm going to try to help you." Back at Joel's body, Ed has got rid of the dog, and Ed pulls the shotgun out of Joel's chest. So now he has a weapon. Chris has a weapon. Mm-hmm. And this is really great moment where he picks up Joel's head, and he almost, like, cradles it, like, puts it to his head. This movie slaps. This is a great movie.
I can't believe that, like, this had, like, no kind of, like, cultural propulsion through, like, even,
was,
like,
yeah.
For you not to, like, have, like, a lot of context for it, like, is... a bummer, because it feels like it should have been on par with some of the other movies around that era.
Absolutely. I definitely think it's of the same quality.
Yeah.
Especially the first one. I don't know about the sequels, of course, might be horrible, but
yeah,
aren't they all? Bunt takes Chris and Tracy to a nearby old abandoned church. And it's not even a church anymore. It's like barely a structure of a falling down building. And he says, 40 years ago, they tried to start a congregation up here. Guess it didn't work out. but this is a holy place, so I was thinking maybe we'd be safe here and Pumpkinhead couldn't come in, so we could at least rest for a minute. And Tracy says, okay, so what do you know about that thing that's after us? Right. And he says, well, it's some kind of demon is the story. I didn't think it was real. And then the sun went down, and Grandpa said that some out-of-towners do something bad, so we need to stay inside until Pumpkinhead is done. And according to legend around here, if someone does something really bad, like killing someone, Pumpkinhead can be summoned. And they said, yeah, we were involved. There was an accident. A little boy got hurt. And he's like, oh, is that Billy Harley? Oh, I took his dad to see someone. Mm. Piecing together that he inadvertently helped Ed summon Pumpkinhead. Yeah. And Tracy has the hilarious audacity to say, well, is his son okay? And Bun says, well, I mean, if Pumpkinhead's after you, he's really not. Chris says, do you know where the car park is on Bradley Mountain? So basically where they park their cars. Can you take us there? We'll get in our cars. We'll at least drive down the mountain to try to get some distance between us. Allison, just then, Pumpkinhead enters the church, the skeleton of the church, and starts stalking them through the darkened ruins. The trio is able to escape in the woods, and we see Pumpkinhead notice a cross at the back of the chapel, and he reaches up and grabs it and smashes it on the ground.
No.
Pumpkinhead hates Jesus, hates the story of Jesus Christ.
But loves spectacle.
He is a drama queen. It is a drama queen.
Yes.
He feels male, I'll just say that. Ed pounds on Wallace's door and says, we have to help them, Wallace. Open the door, I'll blow it off the hinges. Suddenly, we hear a gun cock behind him, and it's Ethan, Wallace's son, Bun's father, and says, you're not going to do anything of the sort. Wallace opens the door and says, get away from me and my kin. We are not helping you. Meanwhile, the trio gets to the car park, and of course, Pumpkinhead has wrecked their cars and the dirt bikes. The cars are literally torn apart by Pumpkinhead. I guess Pumpkinhead knows what cars is what I suppose is what the takeaway
from
it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
There's one bike that is still standing. Chris jumps on it to try to drive away, and Pumpkinhead appears holding up the bike chain, doing his version of laughing. Pumpkinhead then does his thing and grabs Chris while Tracy sobs and throws Chris to the ground. Bunt is able to pull Tracy away, and they run off into the darkness. Suddenly, Ed appears in front of them and says, come with me, get in my truck. So he gets them in the truck, abandoning Chris. So we are down to Ed, Tracy, and Bunt. They make it back to Ed's cabin alive, but Tracy is now starting to like shut down, like go catatonic, is losing her mind, mm-hmm. understandably. Tracy finds Ed in the shed, and she tells him, Mr. Harley, it was an accident. Nobody saw him until it was too late. I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. And he shrugs and says, he's dead. She begs him, can you stop this? Can't you call it off? And he says, nobody can call it off, but I'm going to send it back to whatever hell it came from. And we see him pick up the flamethrower and fucking obviously. Sparks that flame.
Yes.
Good to go. So as of right now, Bunt is inside the cabin, sort of like trying to keep him safe. And then Tracy and Ed are in the shed where he is equipping himself for this final standoff against Pumpkinhead. Unfortunately, in the shed, Ed's eyes suddenly roll back in his head. And as Tracy watches, they become yellow and bloodshot.
What?
Like Pumpkinhead's eyes.
Oh, no.
Meanwhile, Pumpkinhead arrives at the cabin and basically punches in the door and grabs Bunt, dragging him outside. Fortunately, just at the same time, Chris has crawled his way to them. He's in bad shape, but Chris is also there. Tracy runs to Chris. And Ed starts to emerge from the shed with the flamethrower, only to knock over a pitchfork, which stabs itself into his shoulder, kind of pinning him against the door.
No.
So he's stuck there. He can't really use the flamethrower. He can't get out. And when the pitchfork pierces his arm, we see Pumpkinhead also recoil in pain.
Oh, because they're
connected.
Connected from blood. And maybe
magic.
Other stuff.
Ed looks into Pumpkinhead's face, and we see they now have the exact same veiny yellow eyes. And Ed's face is becoming more monstrous by the second. And Pumpkinhead's face begins to bear a striking resemblance to Ed. Ed is able to unstick. He throws his flamethrower to the ground, and he's able to pull the pitchfork out of his arm, and Pumpkinhead screams in pain when Ed pulls the pitchfork out of himself.
Ed being the Ed we've been following this whole time.
Yes.
Okay.
Ed is transforming, but so is Pumpkinhead. They're switching, rounding out. Kind of they're becoming off. An average of them. Ed runs to his truck looking for a handgun, and we see Tracy pick up the flamethrower and fucking spark it up and hit Pumpkinhead. It doesn't do anything, Allison.
No. What?
Unfortunately, Pumpkinhead advances on her as Ed finds his handgun in the truck, and we hear the gun fire. And he staggers into view and we realize he didn't shoot Pumpkinhead. He shot himself. And he falls to the ground because he realized that was the only way to stop Pumpkinhead. Suddenly, Ed wakes up. It didn't take. He literally has a bullet hole in his fucking temple, but he's still alive. And Pumpkinhead awakens too. As soon as Ed opens his eyes, Pumpkinhead opens his eyes and grabs Bunt by the leg and lifts him up. And Tracy picks up Ed's gun. And much like in The Fly, Ed asks Tracy, kill me. And he stands and we see his eyes have our demon's eyes. And she fires several rounds into Ed. And when he falls, he hits the ground and his eyes flutter open. They're normal human eyes again. And she and Bunt look over the destruction. And Pumpkinhead's body hits the ground and bursts into flames. Also, Chris has died.
Yeah.
Chris shows up just to die. Allison, sometime later, Haggis reburies a body in the cemetery up at Old Razorback Hollow. And when we see the body, which is desiccated and burned and all curled up in a fetal position, and it has shovelfuls of dirt hitting it, we see around its neck, it wears Billy's necklace. Because Ed Harley is now the new Pumpkinhead. The end.
So the Pumpkinhead that was fighting everybody, like, disappears.
Yes, it ignites, it totally burns up, and he becomes
the independent. So there's no, like, second body. It's just Ed's body that is gonna... So that's... Wow.
So apparently, I think it's like, the revenge not... It doesn't simply drive you insane. It turns you into Pumpkinhead. You become a demon by seeking your revenge through Pumpkinhead.
And you're only... Okay. But, like, so if somebody else summons Pumpkinhead, like, let's say 10 years from now, there's somebody's like, I need revenge. I want that. She goes and digs up Ed's body. That person's blood goes into Ed's body, and he becomes Pumpkinhead. Does then Ed kind of cease to exist?
I guess that's a good question because the implication is, like, Ed was a good enough person to try to stop this. Hypothetically, if he hadn't, it would have just killed. But, no, it would have turned him into this. I guess the next person, the corruption of seeking revenge turns you into a demon and you become Pumpkinhead. So I think it's a cyclical thing.
Okay.
And of course, Haggis isn't going to tell you that.
No, of course not. She doesn't.
Bitch.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think that's, he will then be replaced.
That makes sense. That quote unquote makes sense.
But then it's great. I guess you go to hell. I suppose. I don't know if you go to heaven after all this.
Yeah, because I'm like, did the reason Pumpkinhead... the Pumpkinhead they dug up, was that because someone else tried to destroy Pumpkinhead and, like, swapped places with them? Or was that, like, the one being, like, do you know what I mean?
Well, I think so. When he saw Pumpkinhead as a child, the man said that he didn't kill that girl. So I think we're going to think somebody evoked that Pumpkinhead. So my guess would be...
as revenge for that guy probably killing that girl.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
So I think I think this is a cycle that has started a long time ago and have been replaced. Pumpkinhead has been replaced several times, I think.
Okay. Got it.
I could be wrong, but that feels right to me.
And that feels right to me.
And let us know your thoughts, because we're always could be wrong and
literally always.
And there's simply no way for us to know anything other than what I've interpreted for the movie and told Allison. And it's like copying a VHS tape. You know, eventually the whole thing starts to break down.
Fall apart.
Allison, are there any fatal mistakes other than the big one that you think that was made in Pumpkinhead?
Fatal mistakes.
I mean, obviously, like, the seeking of revenge is the biggest one. But there are some other kind of more, like... If I witnessed Pumpkinhead existing as a child, When I became, like, if my parents wanted to keep living there, sure. The second I could leave, I would go live somewhere that Pumpkinhead wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was my thought. It's like, you're going to stay there. But I guess it's like, you know, you're born there, you're from there, everyone you know is there. Yeah. You know, you want to keep your roots there, even if you know Pumpkinhead. And I guess if you only see Pumpkinhead the once, maybe you're thinking, okay, maybe that was
a one-time thing.
Yeah, hallucination.
Maybe he left.
Or there's something, you could sort of explain to yourself why it's not a problem.
I would say also the kids not calling for an ambulance when they hit Billy? Is that the name?
Yes, Billy.
When they hit Billy, because that could have then, become a whole other, like, oh, and then the ambulance came, and then, like, Ed goes with the ambulance. Like, maybe it became more about saving his life and less about revenge. So I feel like those kids, also, like, in general, they should have contacted somebody and not just left.
Yeah, in that way, they had doomed themselves from the beginning.
Yes.
You know, so there really is no possible other once Joel made that decision and forced everyone into it, then they were all going to be killed. And frankly, Ed Harley, I mean, he was punished for seeking revenge, but he did do the right thing and he did save, you know, I mean, he did the best he could at a certain point.
Yes.
And you think that'd redeem you in some sense, but I guess not. I guess the rules of Pumpkinhead are set in stone.
Yeah. But other than that, I feel like once Pumpkinhead arrived, everybody did the best they could to avoid. But, like, Pumpkinhead is Pumpkinhead is Pumpkinhead.
Pumpkinhead is Pumpkinhead. Old PH.
Old PH.
And then finally, where would you place Pumpkinhead on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
I think this emotional sadness of this brings it up in scariness, I feel, not down. So I would give this a 5.
Ooh, okay.
Pumpkinhead's pretty grotesque. Those deaths are super violent. But also it's a demon being summoned by a witch who digs up a grave. So I know that that's not like something I need to be afraid of. But from a film standpoint, a 5.
I think I'm going to say a 4. I think that Billy's death is horrifying. I love the effects. I love the witch of it all. I agree. Once you bring in a witch, it's less scary. But I found it unnerving. And even the conversation with Joel and everyone in the cabin, it's like, oh, so this guy's crazy. Like, there is something scary about him and menacing in a way that worked for me. And, yeah, just the idea at the end where you see poor Ed in the grave and know that it's him being buried until whoever seeks revenge again, it got me, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And this is an impro nothing. We'll have to do it eventually. But if you're listening to this, please go see I Saw the TV Glow and see it in theaters if you can. It's not scary in a traditional sense. It is very sad and it is very it's like an emotional gut punch, I thought. Like, it's not it's not a scary movie in a traditional sense. It's like dread, existential fear. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I saw the trailer. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I was like, oh, I think I want to see this.
Yeah,
so
I think
it's on my list.
Yeah, I think if you're someone who there aren't a lot of jumps. There aren't any jump scares or anything like that. It's more of a contemplative,
eerie.
Look at it. Sort of what life is and what is asked of us and we are asked to put on the shelf of ourselves. And it was really good. So just a shout out to that movie and telling everyone to watch it.
That's exciting. I want to see it.
And then I guess other than that, everybody, thank you for listening and please
keep it spooky. Don't forget to follow us at Ruin Podcast and Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok for show updates. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Ruined is a Radio Point and Crooked Media production. We're your writers and hosts, Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. The show is executive produced by Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, and recorded and edited by Kat Iosa. From Crooked Media, our executive producer is Kendra James, with production and promotional support from Ari Schwartz, Kyle Sieglin, Julia Beach, Caroline Dunphy, and Awa Okolati.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.